Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Take me out to the ball game last night. White Sox and Chicago Cubs. Andy Mazur, the play-by-play voice of the White Sox, is on the phone line. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you doing today?
Nice job, buddy. What a pleasure it was to listen to you and DJ last night.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We had a good time getting back together, and I've always gotten along very well with DJ. He's a very knowledgeable baseball guy. He's got a great personality and a lot of fun to work with.
The occasional shout-outs to Ed Farmer were a nice touch, too, bud.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to DJ before the game yesterday, and, you know, one of the things that really angers me, I guess, just internally about how, obviously we're all upset that Ed passed away in April, but with the pandemic, he never really got his due. I mean, in front of White Sox fans, he never got a memorial service. I mean, there's just a lot of things that I think that he's really deserved that he didn't get, and, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened. I'm sure that the White Sox next year, when fans are allowed in, are going to have some kind of a memorial for him. But, you know, the name on the booth still says Farmer Jackson. And, you know, it's his booth, and we certainly want to honor him. And yeah. When appropriate, you know, things jog our memory about him, we're certainly going to talk about him.
Let's talk about that game. And by the way, if you really want to honor him, every now and then you would just speak French.
Yeah, that could be a good idea. I could speak some French I'm going to practice that.
WGN Radio Sports Director Dave Ennett is in the studio, too. And Joe Brand, who frequently does sports for us here, was the play-by-play voice of the Kane County Cougars and would be again this year, but they ain't playing. Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me here, John.
Kane County Cougars, right?
Kane County Cougars, correct.
Yeah, and my sports buddy on Saturday mornings. Guys, let's just talk about the game last night. I know it's an exhibition game, but it's a four-day exhibition season, so I think I'll finish this sentence. So that's your team out there. But actually, the starters didn't play the whole game anyway. They swapped a lot of guys out. But I think you got a feel for what condition, shape, or ability level the guys are in right now. Would you agree with that, Dave?
I think you get a sense of that, John. I mean, they've been at it for a while now. I also think you get a sense of the shape the broadcasters are in. And I think what really impressed me is broadcasting in an empty ballpark. Andy Mazur is able to call a game with nobody in the park and with no game taking place in front of him. That's a talent.
You had to watch the same TV.
I got to be honest with you.
You were watching the same TV then that we were, Andy? Were you watching the same broadcast feed that we were looking at?
Yeah, we actually get what they call a clean feed. So this is actually before it goes to the satellite. So we have it in more real time than the viewer has it. They also, midway through the game, not to take you too behind the curtain, but midway through the game, they brought in another monitor that had a shot from high home plate. So just behind home plate, up a few levels, so that I could see the entire field. That camera never moved. So, for instance, when Edwin Encarnacion hit the ball into the gap, or Yasmani Grandal hit one into the gap, I could see where the fielder was going, and I could also see where the runners were going at the same time, almost like I was there. So that certainly helped, but it does take a little doing to look from one monitor where you're watching the feed to another monitor, and then realizing in between your viewpoint that there's an empty field in front of you. It was a little challenging because it was something that DJ hadn't done. And, you know, he mentioned a couple times during the game last night that foul balls were going straight back. He was kind of flinching a little bit because, you know, you see a ball come back, you expect it to be coming back towards you, but it was 8 miles up the road. So it was interesting, but it was a lot of fun to try to, you know, at least get into it. And we're really looking forward to it tonight when we're actually going to see a game in front of us.
Joe, what was give me a highlight for you as a fan last night?
Well, yesterday was kind of like if you're waiting and waiting to get your driver's license, and you finally go to the DMV, and it's too snowy to actually take the test. You finally get your driver's license, and then your parents ask you to do all the errands, and there's too much driving that you can actually handle. That was yesterday. I was hopping around broadcasts, both radio and TV, and I'll echo just on commending Andy, because the one thing I don't think that listeners realize is the background sound. And when you listen to the game on 720, there was no difference than a regular game. Andy, this is just one audio snob to another. I mean, did you have to not so much practice, but realize the sound? Because, I mean, it was, here's the 1-2, crack of the bat. Here's what happened. I mean, there was no miscommunication there whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting at the beginning because we were actually hearing the crack of the bat before we were seeing the crack of the bat. So we kind of had to adjust a little bit to
because of the delay in the broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, so we looked at each other after the first half inning, and
that DJ was weird.
Did you notice that? I said, yeah, I noticed that as well. So I'm hearing the sound of the bat before I'm seeing the bat actually hit the ball. So we kind of backed off a little bit on that for a little bit. But
I didn't even notice that.
Having that little crowd noise behind us actually made it so much better, because I think there's an inclination, and Joe and Dave both, you can speak to this as play-by-play guys, that, you know, when there's nothing going on behind you, your tendency is to try to talk to cover that up. And in baseball, that's not the right way to do it. I mean, in baseball, you need to let the game breathe, as we like to say in the industry, where you just kind of let that crowd noise kind of be on its own for a few seconds here and there so you can regroup and gather. And I think the Cubs were pumping that into their stadium when we were getting that feed from Wrigley. And I believe we're going to get the same situation tonight at Guaranteed Rate Field. And it's a big help. I didn't know if it was going to be that big of a help, but it really was.
I did hear a little ambient kind of crowdish sound. What was I hearing? Where was that coming from?
That was actually coming from Wrigley. They were pumping it in over the speakers at Wrigley.
From whom?
It's coming from a computer. It's coming from a computer.
Wait a minute.
It's generated.
It's generated crowd noise. They get it from MLB The Show, a video game, and there's a game ops person basically with an iPad, and he has the control settings.
Yep.
So it's tough to do it in real time. You do see that play a factor at some point.
We were doing that last night.
But yeah, that's how it's operated.
But they had the organ, they had the PA, they had the other stuff you would hear in a ballpark.
Okay, so tell me what you guys thought of the teams in just a minute. We're talking with the play-by-play voice of the White Sox here on WGN Radio, Andy Mazur, Dave Ennett, our sports director, Joe Brand from sports as well. And I don't know if you listened to the game last night, but it was music to my ears. And here comes Friday. Dave Ennett, say that on the radio.
They missed a run in the box score of the game last night.
Yeah, I'm looking at MLB Game Day right now. You're right.
What does it show? What does it show, Joe?
It says 6-3, the six-run fifth that the Sox had, but when did they get the other run? In the seventh, the eighth?
The seventh in a while, I think a wild pitch.
That's right.
And so this morning at 5 o'clock, I went on the air. I said, I saw the end of the game, and I said, 7-3, Sox win. And then I look, and we start getting some texters, and I look at the box score. I'm going through the box score, and it's 6-3. I said, well, I guess I made a mistake. I guess the score was 6. So then I say on the air, it's 6-3. And now the texters are saying,
now you're really in trouble. You're really in trouble.
So then I listen back to the tape with Andy saying, in the final score, Sox 7, Cubs 3.
Andy, did you get that right last night?
Oh, yeah, I got it right. I think what happened was one of those runs was unearned, and they never credited the unearned run. I think to Hendricks, there was an error on Baez in one of the innings that they scored. And it should have been, Hendricks should have given up 4 runs, 3 earned. And they didn't add that right. So that's why I think it came out to 6 in the box score.
How did the players look? I saw Javi make an error. There were some unearned runs. Was it a little preseason-ish, or did it look like July baseball, Andy?
You know, I think the first 4 innings were a little, a little March-ish, if you will, because, as tough as it is with no fans in the stands for us, for them, I think it's got to be crazy, too, because you're so used to playing in front of a packed house at Wrigley. You're in front of fans at Guaranteed Rate Field. And there's a little concentration level, I think, that was a little missing yesterday with some guys. And I don't think you worry about Javi Baez in the long run. So, I mean, I wouldn't think that's a red flag or anything like that. But it wasn't the crispest game, you would think. But, I liked what I saw from the White Sox bullpen in several cases. I mean, Ross Detweiler came in and they really did a nice job. I'm not sure how he factors in, if he does factor in, but one guy that's particularly batting back from the Tommy John surgery we talked about last night was Jimmy Lampert, who went two scoreless in that game. And it was nice to see the offensive explosion, too, because I think Adam Engel, we were talking about this, too, Adam Engel hit the home run, becomes a pretty key guy in this lineup, roster. I mean, obviously, Luis Robert's going to play the bulk of center field, But yesterday, Nomar Mazar was a little under the weather, and Engel was in right. But it's a guy that could win a Gold Glove defensively if you got a full season. And he's going to be great to have when you may want a defensive replacement for Eloy Leite or anything like that. So I think that it was nice to see him come through. And then, you know, you got these guys you want to see come through that are being paid to come through, and Yasmani Grandal and also Edwin Encarnacion and Abreu. And it was nice to see the lineup kind of come together as it was last night, still missing a couple of pieces, but I liked what I saw.
Was the way DJ put one of the breaking balls? He said that was like a ball with an early spring training break. In other words, it just kind of sat there. And then, yeah. Joe, you and I talked a lot about this when we were on Saturdays, and that is, how are they going to do? How does the game change with? You can't bring a pitcher in for just one at bat, right?
A pitcher has to face at least three batters or finish the inning. So
he can finish. You could bring him for, if there's two outs, you could bring him in for the last
you
out.
You can, yes.
But if he doesn't get that out, he's got to stay out there for two more batters.
Correct.
And they talked a long time, you guys did, about that last night, Andy. And mm-hmm. I'm with DJ. I love that rule. I absolutely love that rule. Dave, do you like that rule?
I do like that rule. I think certainly the intent of that rule, I think, is a valid one and a worthy one.
To keep the game moving along?
To keep the game moving along and to avoid these.
And it's a new kind of managing.
45-minute half innings.
If you're a manager, you still got to have your head in the game.
Sure.
Because now you got to figure out what happens if he doesn't get that out. Right-left situation. I can't pull a righty for a lefty. I've got to keep the lefty in there or whatever the matchup is that you want. So I like that. Do you like that?
I'm not crazy about it. I like the intent of the rule. I do think baseball is a game that needs to be sped up a little more. I won't call myself a baseball purist because there's other rule changes that I agree with that purists would say no, a few of them being incorporated this year. But I do like how what you said, it provides another challenge for the manager. I just feel like there is other ways we could go about this. One time, this was brought up by Theo Epstein, just have a smaller amount of roster space for pitchers. But now
that would take care of itself.
Then. Yes, yeah. But then that takes away jobs from pitchers, and then you got a whole nother situation happening there. I'm not crazy about it, but I understand the intent of going for it.
Let's take a couple calls, guys. Andy, just sit right there and let's talk to Mike. You're on WGN Radio. Mike, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hey guys, I love watching the baseball last night. Great broadcast and all that. It seemed like after the fifth inning, after the Sox scored those five runs, that the social distancing in the dugout kind of loosened up, and the players were more congregating together without masks. This looks like it's going to be a concern.
You mention it, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I listened to most of the game on the radio. I caught the I picked it up on TV at about the seventh inning. I was on the road last night. But, I saw guys in the dugout without masks on kind of hanging out. The Sox were celebrating, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they were celebrating a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, we were able to see it on the monitor if you didn't get a chance to look at it there. And you're going to see it tonight at Guaranteed Rate Field as well. There's canopies that are built near the dugouts where these guys are actually sitting in the seats. They're sitting in the stands where fans would normally be, and they're distanced apart. Everybody's not in the dugout. So I think that there may have been some, you know, you kind of forget. I mean, you're out there playing, and you're so used to being able to high-five and celebrate with your guys. Sometimes you lose sight of it because you're in your mode. I mean, you're in your zone, so to speak. So, I didn't really notice that. I was kind of paying attention to other things at that point. We didn't really get a good look because we weren't there to look into the dugout all the time. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but, I mean, I get it. I mean, that's extra pressure on the manager and the bench coach to say, hey, listen, you guys got to keep it apart. Let's go. We got to keep it apart.
Thanks for the phone call, Mike. I don't know, Dave. That's if you're the principal, if you're the general manager of a radio station, if you're the boss, you got to tell the not only for the optics of it, but for the health and safety of it, right?
Well, and that's going to be the thing. I think as this happens and it becomes obvious that this happens more and more in other ballparks, then baseball is going to say, hey, you guys are not adhering to the health and safety protocols.
Help us out here, man.
As in that 2,000-page document we sent you.
One of the things the Cleveland Indians did after they won, instead of a handshake line, they all lined up and then just knocked each other's ankles to each other, basically high-fiving with your feet.
I like the toe tap. By the way, Ron has a question about the game and how it's being played. Ron, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Well, that stupid rule about the extra inning thing with a runner on second base, who gets, if the runner scores, does the pitcher get charged for the run? Who gets charged for that run?
Wait a minute, hold on. Are they going to do that? No. Are they going to do that rule?
They're doing that rule.
Well, they're doing it.
It goes down as an unearned run.
Unearned run. But, I mean, in Major League Baseball this year, they're going to do that?
That's, yes.
Has that been in all the papers? Have we
talked about that,
okay.
John.
Well, I knew it was... I thought they did it in the minor leagues and that they were going to try it in the preseason, the exhibition season, whatever we call this. I didn't know they were actually going to institute that this year, huh?
They're incorporating it, this year, basically to speed up these games once again. I saw it firsthand for a year in the minors.
You like that rule?
I'm a fan of the rule.
I think that one's ridiculous. You and I are completely opposite.
I think the reason they're doing it this year specifically was because they're concerned about avoiding 16, 17 inning marathons and the wear and tear on pitchers' arms if you have to go through that when you're going to be playing so many games in such a short
amount. Yeah, we just don't have the luxury of time here. Yeah. Andy, what's your take on that rule?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. And again, I haven't seen it in play yet, but I just think it's kind of a. DJ and I were talking about it in the booth. I don't know if you mentioned this on the air. I mean, I would even just. I'd assume rather see a tie. You know, just play for a tie. I mean, at least more integrity to me as far as the game is concerned. That you know, starting with a runner at second base, I'm not sure what the manager is going to do.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So the
play a tie
after 10 innings, 12 innings. How long do you go?
10 or 11 innings. Go 11 innings, 10 innings. If you want to do it that way. I mean, you know, DJ was telling me that in certain leagues in Japan, in one of the leagues he played in, you played for a tie, and it was kind of. He said it was kind of a relief to know that you weren't going to be there all night. You weren't going to go through your entire bullpen and mess it up for the entire series. And that they played for, they had a tie.
How about that?
You know, to me,
hockey did it for 80 years.
I got 20 seconds left. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say college football overtime. You put the ball on the 25-yard line. Same kind of deal, really. Yeah. If you think about it,
we're going to listen to you tonight, right, Andy?
Yes, sir. 6:35 pregame, 7:10 first pitch. Will be a guaranteed right field tonight.
White Sox baseball on WGN Radio. Thank you, Andy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Take care,
Dave. Thanks for coming in, sticking around.
Thank you, John.
Joe, the same.
John, thank you.
It's 10:56. News is next.